Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Aarti Drugs Limited Q3 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on date of this call. These statements are not guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adhish Patil, CFO at Aarti Drugs Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone, and wishing everyone a happy New Year. On behalf of Aarti Drugs Limited, I extend a warm welcome to everyone joining us today to discuss our financial results for the quarter ended December 31st, 2022. On this call, we are joined by Mr. Harshit Savla, Joint Managing Director, Mr. Harit Shah, Whole-time Director of Aarti Drugs Limited, and Mr. Vishwa Savla, Managing Director, Pinnacle Life Science Limited and SGA, our investor relations advisor. I hope everyone had an opportunity to go through the financial results, press release, and investor presentation, which we have uploaded on the stock exchange and on our company's website. In the quarter gone by, the pace of construction activity for the Gujarat CapEx was ramped up, and the construction is expected to get over within scheduled timeline. Tarapur greenfield CapEx, the construction is expected to get over by the end of Q1 FY24, which will be mainly used for dermatology-related APIs. The company is planning to launch products which would be import substitute through this facility. Once the construction is ready, the company is well prepared to take up scale-up batches immediately. As far as Tarapur brownfield specialty chemicals CapEx is concerned, the company had taken scale-up batches during H1 FY23. The equipment required to fully scale up this plant are expected to arrive by April 2023. The total CapEx during nine-month FY23 stood at rupees 115 crores and is expected to be in the range of 200 crores-250 crores for the entire FY23. Coming to our performance during the quarter, the company achieved API top-line growth of 9% during the quarter. However, multiple factors weighed on the margin expansion. Firstly, the API prices corrected for the overall industry, which was mainly on the account of fall in raw material prices. As communicated in the earlier earnings call, the company undertook some price cuts to maintain the market share. Though at the monthly order level, we are able to maintain the desired gross margins, the opening stock for the December quarter was at higher rates. To give you some more perspective, if we keep December quarter as a base, the equivalent raw material purchases would have cost rupees 33 crores higher in the September quarter and rupees 45 crores higher more in the June quarter compared to the December quarter, purely based on rate variance. All these high-cost opening raw material and finished good inventory is used in the December quarter sale. Owing to API price correction, the company has taken inventory loss of approximately 6 crores owing to the factors just explained above. Ideally, we would have brought down raw material inventory days, but the company had to keep higher raw material inventory due to an uncertain scenario of sudden spike in COVID-19 cases in December and New Year-related holidays in January 2023 in China. The low-cost raw material inventory will be utilized from Q4 FY23 onwards, which is expected to improve the gross margins going forward, provided prices don't fall further down. As far as the demand is concerned, the company is expecting volume offtake going forward, which has remained under pressure due to higher API prices and unavailability of the US dollar in a lot of export markets, especially the emerging ones. With respect to our performance across our segments, first, API segment, the largest segment of the company in terms of revenue contribution, grew 9% year-on-year. The growth was mainly driven due to increased share of chronic as well as acute therapies. While selling price remained under pressure due to the reason mentioned earlier, we are witnessing improvement in the volume uptake from January 2023 onwards. Revenue from the formulation segment stood at ₹49.9 crores for the quarter. The formulation segment's share of the total revenue for the quarter was 8%. The formulation segment's core focus area continued to remain exports. During the quarter, exports contributed 39% of the total formulation revenue. Third, revenue growth in specialty, intermediates and others for 9 months, FY23 stood at 15% year-on-year basis. For specialty chemicals, the company has recently received commitments from the customers for the brownfield expansion products as well as for a campaign-based product. The company is gearing up the capacities to meet this demand and should be able to start delivering the increased demand in next 3 to 6 months. With this committed line of orders, the company can easily double the specialty chemicals revenue in next 12 months. Please note that this revenue growth will come only from the existing brownfield facilities, and the greenfield capex for specialty chemicals will drive further growth in the upcoming years. Coming to overall standalone performance for the quarter, standalone revenue for Q3 FY23 stood at ₹614.4 crores as against 579.9 crores with a year-on-year growth of 6%. The standalone business contributed tentatively 92% to the consolidated revenue for the quarter. Around 61% of the revenues came from domestic market and 39% from the export market for Q3 FY23 for a standalone business. Domestic revenue grew approximately by 8%, while exports grew only by 2% year-on-year for Q3 FY23. Within the API business, the antibiotic therapeutic category contributed approximately 45%, antidiabetic approximately 16%, antiprotozoan around 16%, anti-inflammatory around 12%, antifungal around 8%, and the rest contributed approximately 3% to the total API sales of Q3 FY23. The company has successfully steered through multiple challenges in the past 12 months in terms of supply chain disruptions, elevated raw material prices, correction in API prices, geopolitical uncertainties, to name a few. We are confident that the worst is behind us and we are witnessing a pickup in chronic as well as acute therapies. The demand is steadily picking up and volume offtake is expected to return to the growth trajectory within next 2 to 3 months. As far as the company's financial management is concerned, the company remains frugal and leverage stands comfortably at 0.53 times as of December 31st, 2022. The company will optimally utilize the mix of debt as well as the internal accruals to fund the ongoing capex. The company will also strive to maintain payout to the shareholders while continuing to invest for the next leg of growth. With new facility for dermatology coming up in FY24, along with operationalization of the expanded brownfield expansion of specialty chemicals facility at Tarapur, company expects growth in revenue as well as profitability in upcoming year. With this, we can now begin question and answer session. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The first question is from the line of Chirag Dagli from DSP BlackRock. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. So this specialty chemical piece, you talked about doubling of revenue even without the greenfield facility. This is currently about 8-9% of revenue for us. So two questions there. First is that where are you seeing this number 8-9% of sales go over the next 2 to 3 years, including both greenfield and brownfield expansions that you have? And how different is the profitability of this business versus the rest of the business?
Hi. Yes. So, okay, one thing I would like to correct, right now the spec chem and intermediates we are clubbing together, so spec chem will be around 4-5%, and that we are expecting to double right now. And with the brownfield expansion only, the one of the recent brownfield expansion what we had done for chlorosulfonation product, right now we are just operating at 10%. We are waiting for one equipment, which will arrive in April. And after that, immediately we can scale up the production. And plus, we are also expanding one of the contract manufacturing product in this segment based on the customer's requirement and commitment. So based on that, we can easily double our spec chem segment. And as far as the further greenfield expansion is concerned, we are hoping, going forward, we can take this spec chem and intermediates to around 20-25% of the standalone revenue. After three years.
This includes both specialty chemicals and intermediates.
Correct, yes.
Understood. So roughly double the contribution, effectively.
Yeah, and the margin profile of this product is also slightly higher than our conventional API products.
Margins are higher. Understood, sir. Okay. And the second question I had, sir, was on the API business. You talked about prices being under pressure. We've still grown 9% YOY. On a net basis, have volumes grown double digit and prices have come down a few percentage points is how we should think about this?
No, see, as of now, on a sequential basis, the prices have definitely come down. But on year-on-year basis, still, for the December quarter, there was a bit of price growth, rate variance, positive rate variance. So this time, in the December quarter, the volume was quite flattish, actually. For the domestic market, there was some flattish marginal volume growth of 2-3%. But for the export, in fact, there was slight degrowth in the volume as far as volumes are concerned for the December quarter. So the first half year, the volume growth was excellent for the export. But for the December quarter, we could see that there was slight lack of demand due to lack of government tenders in the export geography. And that has also to do something with the shortage of US dollars in those emerging countries.
Understood, sir. Sir, any thoughts on margins where we are? Today we are at significantly lower than history in terms of margins. How should we think about margins going forward for the API business?
Yes. So the margins will definitely improve. Because we base this comment on the information that our current monthly orders which we are taking, they are at significantly higher gross margins. Significantly means as compared to the financials. So they are where we typically want. They are there at the desired gross margin level, but then it is not reflected in the financials. Because of this sharp decline in the raw material prices. What happened was, we started this December quarter with very high inventory, around 100 days. So, and all this inventory was at a very high rate. As I was saying, that if we purchase December inventory with the September rates, then it will cost us 33 crores higher. And if we compare it with respect to June rates, it will cost 45 crores higher. So my point being, the prices have come down significantly, and the selling prices, with say 1 month lag, they follow the raw material prices. But our inventory was more than almost 100 days, and that had really put a squeeze on the gross margin. In fact, we have also taken 6 crores of inventory loss for the December end for some of the finished goods, where we saw that the earlier purchases, the cost price was slightly higher than the selling price, but we have already taken that loss, which was contributing to around 1% in gross contribution. And in addition to that, this FIFO method has also squeezed margins quite a lot. So we definitely feel that once the pricing stabilizes of the raw materials, then we can see some healthy margin expansion in our gross contribution.
So Q4 should be better than Q3 in terms of margins, and that exit is what should probably will you improve on that exit margin for the full year of next year, FY24?
So Q4, definitely, ideally should have been better. Only one concern is there, that in Q4 also our inventory was high, and the reason being, in the month of December, there was a lot of uncertainty related to the COVID-19 outbreak, another wave, and lockdowns. And because of that, those reasons, we have kept the raw material inventory high, so that we should not face any production losses. So that is the only worry, that we will be carrying some bit of inventory into this March quarter. But then the thing is, this inventory will be significantly lower than the opening rates of the December quarter. As I said, that almost 33 crore difference is there of what we purchased in December versus had we purchased the same with the September rates.
Understood. Okay, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Reminder to the participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Pujan Shah from Congruence Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Yeah. So first question would be, can you just give a split for 9 months geographical split for our company?
Okay. I don't have it right now, but then tentatively I can tell you. Based on last year, means our Asia will be somewhere in 50s. But I will get back to you though with this correct numbers. Somewhere in 50s. And then Latin America would be somewhere in early 20s. Then Europe will be in late teens or something like that. And Africa might be another 10% or something like that. But I think we might have published this number in the investor presentation.
Yes, sir, but it is for FY22. I just want the 9 months.
Okay. So we'll do one thing. We will update that slide and put it again.
Okay, sir. So one of the question would be, as we are exporting in the semi-regulated like Turkey and some of the countries like Mexico, so how we are handling the currency crisis that they have been facing? Yes, we are net exporter to the country, so I understand that. So how, what are the steps we have taken for that part, and how you are looking for that countries to evolve in next 2 to 3 years for our company?
Yes. So that is a very relevant question, because that is the reason why we have been facing some trouble as far as the export demand is concerned in the latest quarter. Not before that, but in the latest quarter. However, one point to note is that we do most of our export contracts mostly in US dollar and a little bit in euros. So that way we are insulated from the currency variation of the individual countries. So that particular forex risk is actually on the client side. But then definitely if they don't manage it well, then they will go in financial trouble and that might cause some delays, you know, in payments or something like that.
So my add-on question would be that only if they have been getting into financial trouble, are we getting any difficulty on the recovery side for that? Like, are we getting any delay for the data side?
As of now, means December quarter, our numbers looked okay. Means it was very much in line with the previous averages as far as credit days are concerned for export market. And moreover, we are slightly insulated because of this insurance also, which we have taken, ECGC insurance we have for the exports. So that gives a bit of more comfort for receivables.
Okay. So my broad ask would be on the, like, let's say we have sales of currently our API sales is 84% and our revenue has been muted. So, like, what are the, like, what I can read is we have grown in the volumes, but due to price erosion, we can't get that value for the specific API. Now, the second question, like, the add-on would be that on the and the formulation, as we have into greenfield and brownfield, we are yet to expand much on that part. So, are we say that in the next 12 months or let's say 2 years in down the line, we are very, like, not very low, but the dominance for API will start decreasing and the other will be start increasing, and what are the broader margins we would recollect for it? Because in the last quarter, we can see that we are having the gross margin of 34%, right? 34% last year, so December, we have a 34% gross margin. So what are the visions we have been taking to for this specific call that due to this API being somewhat commoditized, so how we have been aiming to get into the 2-3 years of vision for our company?
Yeah, so the as far as margins are concerned, this 34% gross margin, we believe we can achieve in APIs as well as soon as the your rate scenario, the input price rate scenario stabilizes. Then you're right that API, our spec chem and formulation segment will grow at a little higher pace than the API segment. One of the reasons will also be because of API is of higher base, you know, it's almost, as you said, in 80s, it is contributing to the revenues. So percentage growth for spec chem and formulation will be slightly higher. In formulation also, we are targeting higher margins through more and more exports. Spec chem obviously have slightly higher margin as it is with compared to APIs. And the API margins should also grow because once this input rate scenario stabilizes, because what we are seeing in, if we compare, you know, the monthly sales order contracts and the monthly purchase order contracts, what we are doing every month, we can clearly see that, you know, there is at least 3-4% improvement in the gross margins. But the problem is, in raw material, what happened is, you know, it takes around, say, 15 days to 30 days for the material to reach the factory, and then we have around 100 days of inventory, you know, so there is that certain lag. So in the changing input prices scenario, we face squeezed in the gross margin. But then if it stabilizes, then definitely it will improve, so is what we feel.
Okay, sir. And do we see this API price erosion have been bottoming out, or are there still place to left for the erosion due to the market structure, and the market was being like before the COVID, that was a spike, due to COVID, the spike was being such a high. So obviously still has a space to have some price erosion and then it start bottoming out, or, and the second question would be, as we have said that we have decreased the inventory days. So, and you are like, we are also keeping the inventory due to the COVID related issue, like if there will be a sudden spike in China or something like that. So the question is, the working capital, then it would be very stringent, because like as we are paying for the inventory and we are also keeping the inventory. So how you are managing that specific thing? So that's the two questions.
Yeah, as far as you're right about the inventory. Now the problem with not keeping inventory was uncertainty. Means if we face production losses, then we might lose market share. Means market might get starved for that particular product, and we might lose clients to competition. So we took a conscious call that we don't want that. Means temporary decline in margins is okay, but then the production should be at full scale. So that we don't lose any market share. And the natural downside of that was squeezing the gross margin. Definitely in a stable scenario, we can easily improve. We feel that we can easily bring down total inventory days by around, 20, at least 20 days, bare minimum. It's quite easy. So that will also reduce pressure on the working capital requirement. Means right now our working capital date would be around 360 crores and the long term would be around 240. So definitely the working capital date will also go down if we bring down the inventory. So, does that answer your question?
Thank you, Mr. Shah. May we request that you return to the question queue for follow-up questions. We'll take the next question from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Can you talk about how is the situation for inventory?
Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Gupta. Please use the handset mode. The audio is not clear from your line.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Can you please talk about how is the situation for inventory destocking across most of the geographies that we are seeing in API companies, not just in our company, but as well as other API companies across the globe? And when do you expect this situation to bottom out?
Are you asking that when the API prices will stop going further down?
No, I'm asking about, across various companies, we've been hearing that, there had been some surplus inventory built up during 2021 and 2022, which has actually, impacted the demand during the past few quarters. So how is the situation currently, and when do you expect the situation to bottom out or and improve from there on?
Okay. I will request Harit Bhai to answer this question.
Yeah, the raw material prices, as far as raw material prices are concerned, they are almost at pre-COVID level or lower than that. And as far as demand is concerned, we expect demand to pick up in next 2 or 3 months, March onwards. We expect demand to further move up. So all inventory which was in pipeline has come down to very realistic level now. So we expect demand to go up by March, April onwards.
Sure. And then how are the API prices compared to the pre-COVID levels? How are they currently? Like as you were saying, the raw material prices have come down to pre-COVID levels, but how are the final API prices?
Yeah, it follows. Like we are also almost coming down to pre-COVID levels for API, most of the APIs. Case to case is different, but more or less we are at pre-COVID levels, yeah.
Sure. And then on the capex of 600 crore that we are implementing over the next 3 or 4 or 5 years, can you talk about, for India given product-wise capex, so when each of these capex is expected to be completed, and, how do you see the growth panning out for us and during FY24 and 25 post-completion of this phase-wise capex?
Okay. So as I was saying that, one brownfield expansion, which will be meaningfully scaled up in the coming first quarter, that is June FY 2023-24. And then in the same quarter, towards the end of that quarter, we are expecting our another greenfield facility at Tarapur to be operationalized. Then we will start taking the scale-up batches. The pilot batches of the same, means scaled-up pilot batches at another location are being taken right now as we speak. And as far as the spec chem greenfield project is concerned, which is coming up in Gujarat, that we expect by the end of first half, that is towards the end of September, that particular facility will be operationalized. And then it might take around, a month or two troubleshooting problems like scaling up and all. So those are the tentative timelines as of now.
Okay, and how much revenue will this both, brownfield and greenfield API CapEx plus, the specialty chemical CapEx, what can be the asset turns or revenue that we can generate from them?
So the revenues after completion of this both this project, plus we had also planned an expansion of antidiabetic facility. Then all this put together, our revenue potential can go till around 4,500 or something like that, all put together, brownfield and greenfield all put together.
And all this will be completed by end of FY24, in worst case.
Yes.
Okay. And then also, given the kind of slowdown that we are seeing across our existing product portfolio, we'll also have some room for, increasing capacity utilization at existing plants as well. So that will also contribute to higher revenue. But 4,500 crore includes everything, like new CapEx and
Correct.
And sir, on the specialty chemical side, we have seen that a lot of, companies which are into intermediate specialty chemicals, and especially the one focusing on, China substitute products, we have seen a lot of dumping happening from China in the past 2-3 quarters, especially with the demand slowing down in their domestic economy because of COVID. So, and that has impacted the prices of the finished good products to such a level that, the cost of production for many of the companies has increased considerably comparable to their finished goods products. So are we seeing the same thing in our specialty chemicals, or how is the scenario because of, China dumping a lot of products in India?
Over last one decade, I would say, since from 2011 to till 2020, that decade, it was very much evident, means many of the spec chem industry and pollution norms basically has become very strict in China, which earlier was little relaxed. And because of that, even the labor laws were become little more strict, and their operating cost went up because of all these factors. Because they started coming, they started complying to adhering to these strict norms. So that gave us a lot of opportunity to come into this spec chem space, intermediate space, and also the API space. Obviously, our Indian government is promoting through various schemes wherever possible. Definitely, if not directly, at least indirectly, it will help the industry. And we feel that, China plus one strategy is also playing in some of the cases, because more and more export markets, they do want to have an alternate supplier from India. Earlier, when they were procuring only from China, at least, 20-30% they will start moving to another geography. And in this particular space, other than China, India is another country which is very strong as far as manufacturing capabilities are concerned.
So what we have seen, sorry to interrupt you, but what we have seen is when the prices of the Chinese manufacturer go down below the Indian manufacturer, people still, shift back to the Chinese players because the prices are lower. So do we see that across our products as well?
Yeah. So the products in which we are there, because the fact that our capacities are as big as Chinese, if not bigger than them, in many of the cases, in the top 15 products which we manufacture, that is the reason why we are able to, market our product at par with China. In fact, there are 3-4 products which we are already exporting, and we are adding also a couple of products to China, for the Chinese market. So we are selling our product, which is manufactured in India, to China. But what we have seen, that Chinese government protect their industry quite a lot, by putting a lot of registrations into place. Means it is not that easy from regulatory standpoint to export our product to China. It is not just about quality and price. It has also to do with the regulatory aspect if you want to export to China. But other way around, it is very easy for a Chinese manufacturer to export into India. Another good indicator is that in last 6-7 years, Southeast Asian market, which was predominantly occupied by Chinese manufacturers, they had a stronghold in that market. But we were able to penetrate, and that is the reason why our Asian market share has gone up significantly higher over last 7-8 years. So as far as cost is concerned, we are able to compete with China. So it is more to do with other macro factors and other regulatory environment.
Sure. Sure. But my question was more to do with the specialty chemical side. You know, APIs, we have a stronghold. We are a top 5, top 3 player in many of our molecules. But, you know, specialty chemical will be, some of the products in those will be a new entry for us. And
yeah.
So how will be the situation
so the product,
there?
Yeah. So the product, if we take our 2-3 specialty chemicals, those products also, that particular business which we are getting more and more market share from a particular contract manufacturer. So earlier they were procuring from China, that particular product. And recently we got 30% bump in that particular contract as well. So we are getting market share from China, even in spec chem products. And in some of the cases, in fact, there are even Chinese counterparts who are, you know, talking with us to manufacture certain product over here, and they will then focus further on the higher end of the value chain. So
sure.
there is collaboration right now.
Sure. And last question on the margin side, you know, Adish, when you ramp up to, let's say, 80-90% of the capacity, including the incremental capex that we are doing, and it's let's say around, you know, 3,800-4,000 crore kind of revenue, what can be the steady state margin that we can expect from the company?
Okay, so the current business can go, current means not the, I'm not talking about greenfield expansion, but the current business, once we achieve higher utilization, that can fetch us around, say, 15-16% EBITDA margin, plus because of the higher exposure to spec chem and export formulation, slightly we can, you know, at least try, our target should be, you know, to reach towards 18%.
Okay. At least, you know, in a normal case, 16-18% is what we can aspire to achieve. What, in fact, 18% is what you're saying.
After all the expansions of something.
Sure. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Prerit Chaudhary from Green Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. So I had a question relating to the previous call. So in the previous call, the company mentioned that there has been some delay in delivery of some high margin, high value products.
Please use the handset mode, sir. There is some disturbance coming from your line.
Okay. Am I audible now? Oh, okay.
Yes, sir.
Hello? Yeah, so in the previous call, the company mentioned that there has been some delay in orders for high value, high margin products, which have affected the margin. So are there any changes in the current quarter? Are those products delivered? Hello?
Yes, frankly speaking, I don't recollect to which particular products we are referring to as of now. But the thing is, those products will be delivered. If it was a API or spec chem kind of product, typically, you know,
yeah,
orders don't get delayed this much. Means if not in that particular month, by next month they are delivered. So I'm assuming these products will be delivered. But the main reason for the squeeze in the margin for this quarter was because of the inventory, which I was explaining earlier.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. So those products, you don't know which all those products were. If you can some data, what were the order sizes? So
I will pull up that data. Then I will come to know.
Okay. Fine. Thank you. That's it for me.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. The next question is from the line of Bhagwan Chaudhary from Sunidhi Securities and Finance. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity, sir. Just a few clarifications from your starting comments. You said that we lost 30 crore kind of the revenue because of the pricing. Is that right?
No, actually, what I was trying to tell, that the opening inventory as of 1st October, you know, typically all those purchases were done in the month of September. If we take around, say, 90 to 100 days of inventory cycle, so whatever was purchased in that particular quarter, September quarter, would have been sitting in the by the end of that quarter. Now, if we use the September quarter rates and check the rate variance with respect to the December quarter rate, then we saw that there is 33 crores of means negative rate variance. Means the raw material purchases have actually come down by 33 crores for a quarter, purely because of the rate variance. But when we but we were carrying the stock, that much expensive stock, to start the quarter of December, you know. So all that particular stock which we purchased in December must be sitting at the, you know, 31st December stock that way.
Okay. And the other way, you said that we have the 6 crore loss of the inventory.
Correct.
Because of the...
That is another thing. That is, in addition to this factor, there was 6 crores of inventory markdown what we have done for finished goods, wherein the prices have collapsed so much, you know, because of this 100-day cycle, the cost price is actually higher than the selling price. So we have marked down the inventory to the selling prices, and there we further suffered that 6 crore of inventory loss.
So on the other side, when you say the growth was 6% on a standalone basis, I'm saying that again there the volume was flat in domestic and negative in exports, and there was a growth on the pricing. So that you are comparing on YOY basis.
Yes.
And the other two things, 33 crore and 6 crore, this was the QOQ basis.
Correct. So the margin squeeze I was explaining, because that is related to what we purchased in the previous quarter, but then we had to sell the inventory at lower prices because the prices collapsed significantly.
So my next question, now if the pricing are the same and we are carrying some inventory of that earlier quarters as well, so what would be the impact in this quarter of this entire scenario?
So this quarter definitely should be better, provided, you know, right now the January month, you know, January month itself, there was a price reduction if we compare with the average realization of the December quarter. There is still further price reduction, but if this
final products.
So if this price reduction stops here, and that final product is basically based on the raw material, because the raw material prices are also going down, and that is the reason why the final products are going down. So and at the order level, we are still making decent margins. But the problem is we are carrying this 100 days of inventory. So if it stops here, then definitely March quarter will look much better than the December quarter. But if month-on-month, if the raw material prices keeps going down, and so will the selling prices, then, you know, then again, something like December quarter might repeat. But then it looks difficult for the prices to go down further from here.
Got it. And what is the update on this US FDA inspection part?
Yeah, yes. So we furnished the final response in the month of September. And then in October, for the same plant, we got EDQM audit. In fact, we had a Canadian audit scheduled for the same plant in January end. But then we got information from Canadian authorities that because we have already been inspected by the EDQM authorities recently, so they won't be coming for the audit. and this EDQM thing, the certificates and all should be out by 27th February. And so once we get that in hand, with that we will send a further reminder to the USFDA officials, you know, that after our last communication, another regulatory audit has taken place and these are the results. So we invite you to the plant.
My understanding is we were already approved by EDQM and this...
We were already approved, but after that, we were approved in 2016. Then 2017 we had a USFDA audit where, you know, which because of the previous points, the import alert wasn't lifted. But now after that US audit, the Australian audit has taken place last year and EDQM audit, a fresh EDQM audit has taken place this October.
But we were supplying to the Euro from the same facility.
We were supplying, but the problem, you know, in some of the cases, in some of the multinationals who are procuring APIs in their formulation plants for both US as well as European markets, they refrain, you know, procuring from us because their product is going to both the markets and we are approved only for Europe and not for US. So that is challenging sometimes. In some cases, we were supplying, but you can say if we clear USFDA, then even the Europe market will open up fully for us from that facility.
No, I was just trying to understand the significance of current EDQM. Is it going to add something to our kitty in terms of...
It should, because that will be the latest audit, no? So that is why we feel that it will add to the value.
Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Zain from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead. Zain, your line is in talk mode. Please go ahead with your question.
Hello.
Yes, you're audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Hello, sir. I just want to know the one question, which is about for formulation. It is 9% decline YOY. So, want to know the reason for that?
Yes. So, formulation, what has happened, we have won a tender in Latin American market and we manufactured in our local formulation plant for this tender and we moved our product to our subsidiary in that country. So, because it was internal sale, you know, the product has reached the export market, but from there now it will be sold in March quarter, in this quarter to the final authorities in that country. So that is the reason why we had to, you know, remove 10 crores of sale and 2 crores of profit from, because it was under consolidation, it got netted off. But it will come in March quarter. So there were some deferred sales. This time we did not sell more into domestic market for formulations and that is the reason why, you know, the sales looks low. And even the profit is looking low because it got netted off in the consolidation, but it will come in the March quarter.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Adish Patil for closing comments. Thank you and over to you, sir.
Yeah. So thank you everyone for joining us today on this earnings call. We appreciate your interest in Aarti Drugs Limited. If you have any further queries, please contact SGA, our investor relations advisor, or us directly. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Aarti Drugs Limited, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us and you may now disconnect your lines.